This is Central Time. We're going to talk about bees now. Bee populations around the country have been declining at mysteriously high rates, a phenomenon called bee colony collapse disorder since the mid-2000s or so. The decline has affected not just honey production, but all the crops that depend on pollinators here in North America. Well, how's it affecting us here in Wisconsin? We have Hannah Gaines Day with us. She's a graduate research assistant in the entomology department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's going to be speaking tonight at the Mead Public Library in Sheboygan from 6:30 to 8 this evening. Hannah, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how much has this hit us? Have we seen a big bee decline here in Wisconsin?
Well, pollination is really important. One in every three bites that we eat is dependent on pollinators, with bees being the most important pollinators. And it affects us here in Wisconsin because we have a number of pollinator-dependent crops like cranberry, apple, pickling cucumbers, and so it affects and cherries. So it affects our state economy.
And are we like a lot of states, as I understand it, there are roaming beekeepers who go from crop to crop, season to season, and bring their bee colonies along with them to pollinate? Are we seeing that? Are we seeing declines there hurting agriculture in the state yet?
So the bees, you're correct. The bees that are sent out to almond pollination in California are the same bees that we have in Wisconsin. The most obvious effect we've seen so far is that the price of the beehives for the farmers to rent is higher in Wisconsin than it was before the declines, and the quality of the hives is lower than it used to be.
Do we have a sense, I know it's still an open question, but what are the potential culprits in this bee colony collapse?
So we don't know the exact causes of colony collapse disorder, but there are a few things that we're pretty sure are playing a part in it. One is pesticide exposure. Another one is poor nutrition. The bees that get shipped around the country are fed corn syrup solution while they're being shipped, so they're not getting all the nectar and pollen from diverse flowers. And that also causes a lot of stress on the bees being shipped around.
So are there solutions there? Are people able to use fewer pesticides, for example?
There are a number of ways that farmers and everyday people can help the bees. One is to reduce pesticide use in their on their farm or in their yard, or apply pesticide when the bees are not active, so in the evening when the bees are not on the flowers. Also providing good foraging resources, so lots of different types of flowers that bloom throughout the season will help with the bees' nutrition.
And are we doing some of those things here in Wisconsin?
We are. So there's a group of apple growers who have started putting in pollinator habitat. If you look around urban areas, that you'll see pollinator gardens coming up. So yeah, we are doing that in Wisconsin too.
Now, as I understand it, your talk today actually focuses on native bees, and I've only recently started to get the distinction. The bees that are traveling from farm to farm with the beekeepers are of European origin. Is that right?
That is correct. So modern agriculture in this country depends on the honeybee, which is only one species. It's not native to North America. It was brought over in the 1600s with the settlers for wax production so they could have candles. But there are also a huge diversity of native bees in North America and in Wisconsin. We have about 500 different species in Wisconsin.
And do those native bees play much of a role in pollination now, or could they?
Yeah, so native bees are fantastic pollinators. Some of them are more efficient pollinators than honeybees, but they're mainly solitary. So with the honeybees, you have a huge colony. They're fairly easy to manage. You put them where you need them when you need crop pollination. The native bees are solitary, and so in order to manage for native bees, you really need to manage for floral and nesting resources so that they can survive in the landscape.
So it sounds like good news if the problem is colony collapse disorder and these native bees don't live in colonies. Are they not affected by this problem we're seeing with those honeybees?
That is correct. Native bees are not affected by a lot of the issues that honeybees are affected by, disease and parasites and such. But they are affected by pesticide exposure, and they depend on having resources in the landscape available. So with expansion of agriculture and intensive agriculture, they don't have the resources they need. So we're seeing parallel declines in native bees, but due to different reasons.
Well, it sounds like from what you said, this is a really different potentially a really different approach to farming. Instead of planting a big zone with one kind of crop and needing the bees for this 1 or 2 week pollinating season, that's it. we're managing an ecosystem almost if we're trying a different method.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
So what would it take for, say, I'm a farmer who does a monocrop. I grow one thing right now. What are the steps I would start taking to have this ecosystem where wild domestic bees are, well, it's a place they want to live?
Yeah, so one example I can give you is the California almond growers. Almond is a huge monoculture that brings lots and lots of honeybees in for pollination. And when there's no almond flowers, it's a food desert for the bees. There's just no food. And so they've started putting in strips of wildflowers in between their trees. Their system is a little bit unique because it's a perennial tree crop, so they have that space on the ground. But even other crops like watermelon or other annual crops that require pollinators can put in rows of flowering crops or even just borders of their fields into native wildflowers.
Now, you're in the entomology department. Do you get a sense of urgency among your fellow entomologists about trying to find a solution, either cure the disease or find ways around it to help the crops?
There's definitely a lot more awareness since I started my research on bees. Now it seems like just about everyone has heard about colony collapse disorder and decline in bees. So I do feel a bit of urgency. I think it's because when you talk to just about anyone, they know about it. And there's a lot of sort of corporate interest now with Haagen-Dazs has a campaign to save the bees and Whole Foods has a campaign to save the bees. So a lot more people are getting involved.
And do most people focus on those European honeybees and helping them out? Or do they see what you've been talking about, the native bees, as part of the overall picture?
There's definitely been a big focus on honeybees, but I think people are becoming more aware of the presence of native bees as well.
So looking ahead, are you optimistic that there's a solution to this problem, that we're not going to have a massive crop disaster because there aren't enough bees?
I am optimistic. I think that with the awareness of native bees and farmers interested in putting in bee habitat on their farms and funding available for them to do that, I think that it's a positive future.
So you are, as I mentioned, talking in Sheboygan tonight at the Meade Public Library. That's 6:30 to 8. Why are you getting out of the lab and out of the fields and talking to the public about this?
Well, one of the parts that I really enjoy is sharing my research. And pollination and pollinators is a really great subject because it should be important to everyone. Everyone eats. Everyone needs to eat. And so getting out and talking to the public and talking to farmer groups is one part that I really enjoy about my research.
All right. And can you give us a couple highlights, anything you haven't mentioned today that you're going to dig a little deeper in your talk tonight?
So I guess one thing I wanted to mention is just what people can do to help bees is providing flower resources, nesting resources, avoiding pesticide. But also there's been a lot of talk recently about poisonous plants. And so when you're buying plants at a nursery, it's important to ask the nursery staff if they've used systemic pesticides, which are pesticides that come through the plant and come out of the pollen and nectar. So when the bees visit these flowers, they're actually picking up pesticide. So you could be providing a beautiful floral resource, but if they've been treated with systemic pesticide, it's not actually a good resource. So that's one thing to check before you put in your pollinator plantings.
Well, if I know anything about Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, I know a lot of them are mapping out their garden plans for the spring right now. Any especially bee-friendly flowers that you would suggest they incorporate?
So native plants will be your best bet. You want flowers that produce nectar and pollen, so the bees get both when they visit. And you want to choose flowers that bloom all throughout the season. So any given day during the season, you have at least three species of flowers blooming. And planting those in clumps make them more attractive to the bees. So it's not necessarily a specific plant, but the way you plant them and that there are flowers all season.
All right, so I'll keep that echinacea going at least.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much.
That was Hannah Gaines-Day. She's a graduate research assistant at the UW-Madison's Department of Entomology. She talks about how beneficial insects affect agriculture. Again, she'll be at the Meade Public Library in Sheboygan tonight, just a little while actually, 6:30 to 8 this evening. Well, coming up, we've got lots of action in the state legislature today. We're going to hear about property taxes, school logos, and landlord-tenant laws. That's all coming up here on Central Time.